live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 214. Live here in Indianapolis, I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. He'll be joining us. We got a big show this evening. We've got NBA Finals talk, Game 5 tonight on ABC. We'll be talking NBA Finals, kind of what we've seen since the last time we've talked. We had Games 3 and 4, so we'll talk that tonight and also prep for Game number 5. We've got some NBA news and notes. We've got the LIV Golf Tournament, LIV Golf PGA Tour. We've got that talk going on the first weekend of LIV, so we'll recap a little bit of that. NBA news and notes, NHL finals, Stanley Cup finals are happening starting on Wednesday. We'll talk a little bit about that. Pacers possible draft picks at number 6. We'll talk that and more. Taking your calls as well. Jonathan Birdsong, JB, how are you, my guy?
Man, I'm trying to beat this mugginess of the Circle City, man. But other than that, man, I'm doing pretty well. Crossroads listening audience and Brandon Reif, man. How's everybody, man? I hope I just know I heard you just give the rundown of the show. So where you want to start at first?
Yeah, let's dive right into the NBA Finals, John. The last time we talked, we did our show last Wednesday. It was 1-1, I think, the last time we talked, going into game 3. But, as we look at it now, we're 2-2 going to game 5 tonight in Golden State. Boston just wiped the floor with, basically the whole third game 3 with Golden State. Withstand Golden State's third quarter extravaganza that they've always seemed to have. And then in game four, an injured Steph Curry, not sure what he was going to be able to do, proved everybody wrong, went out there and just lit it up for 40-something points and gave the Warriors the win going into game five tonight. Steph's performance, not surprising to me. I think no matter what, I think he should be the finals MVP regardless. I know they're not going to give it if Boston wins, but what were your thoughts from the games over the week or the weekend, the last two?
Just the fact that the Boston Celtics probably gave one away. If they could probably, you know what I'm saying, play some of those possessions back over, you know what I'm saying, they got careless with the ball late game, late in the clock, you know what I'm saying, careless turnovers, those type of things, settle for three-pointers or, hell, Tatum. I don't think Tatum even touched the ball, which is, like, unheard of. He's their primary player, you know what I mean, in the fourth quarter. I'm talking about late in the clock situation in the fourth quarter. So I get it, you know what I'm saying. You know, they do have somewhat of another dynamic guy in Jaylen Brown. And, you know, even in small pockets, Marcus Smart has been able to put up some decent shots, but like, man, there's no reason why there's no reason why Jason Tatum shouldn't touch during the offensive possession. So if he's in the game, there's no reason why he shouldn't be involved in some type of way. And then secondly, like I said, when he did get the ball, he settled for three pointers. So again, man, I always go back to how are you trying to beat a team? You're not going to beat the Golden State Warriors trying to outshoot them. That's not going to happen. You're not going to outshoot the Golden State Warriors, all right? So you're going to have to do your best. Whatever you do best is what the Boston Celtics do best is kind of, you know what I'm saying, play downhill and slash to the basket and get their bigs, you know what I'm saying, active, you know what I'm saying, on the glass and scoring as well. So right. Those things don't happen. And in the wins, those things have all happened for the Boston Celtics, right? And in the losses, you know what I'm saying, that's the exact opposite. So here we are, game 5, going back out west.
What's your thoughts on, Tatum, like you said, Tatum, another bad shooting performance in the game, a lot of forcing it looked like. I think the key tonight for Boston to win is what kind of Marcus Smart you're going to get tonight. I about said Shaka. Wow. What kind of Marcus Smart you're going to get tonight for the Boston Celtics from the win. Man, it's going to be tough. I thought Boston would probably win the series if they would have won this last game going into Golden State.
Right.
I will tell you this: if Boston somehow wins tonight, I just don't see them losing two in a row, John. I really don't.
They haven't. Right. They haven't. I don't think there's a crazy stat out there. They haven't lost two in a row. Since January, right. It might even be since January. From a coaching standpoint, and this is my limited brain coaching, they're going to have to force the ball out of Steph Curry's hands and make somebody else make a play. Make Wiggins, and I know he's been more efficient, but, like, you know, it's a small pool. Make Wiggins be the shooter. Draymond Green be the shooter. You know what I mean? In the late pop situation. So those are the things they're going to have to do. Just from my, you know, limited lens of knowing a little bit about basketball. I think you'll get the best version of – you're definitely going to get the best version of Poole and Klay Thompson on the road. At home. So those are the guys. I mean, I expect them to have big games tonight as well. But, you know, if you're going to get beat by Draymond Green or Wiggins, I think you take your chances with that. Hell, even you know, some of the other supporting cast that they have, you let them make plays making them feel uncomfortable in those type of situations, man. Those are the types of things Boston is going to have to do tonight.
Yeah. What prediction point for tonight? Warriors are favorites by 4 points. It was at 3.5. Now it's at 4. I think Golden State gets it together tonight. I think they win this game. I think they get back to a 2 lead. I also believe that Golden State, I think Draymond gets close to a triple-double. I think this is a kind of a Draymond game where he kind of steps up.
Okay.
I think Draymond steps up, gets maybe a triple-double, maybe 10-10 and 10-10-10, or 10-11-10 or whatever. I also think this is kind of a Klay Thompson type of game. Klay's had a weird NBA Finals, I think, if you ask me. There's the inconsistency, and then he hit some shots in a row. You think he's starting to get back on, and then it goes away again. So it's hard telling with Klay, but this type for me is a type of game where I can see Klay kind of getting into his rhythm a little bit more as well with that. So, and honestly, Looney. I think Looney here probably has a decent game. I think he probably has 12 points, 12 rebounds or so for Looney. I just see some of the Steph's done his part. I think this is where you see some of the role players and stuff kind of do theirs here. And Steph doesn't have to go out and score the 40 points. Klay doesn't have to go out and go 30 or 20 and 5 himself. Poole doesn't have to go out and get 25. I think you get some of the role players here kind of stepping up into this game tonight for the Warriors.
Right. It's not like the Boston Celtics have not been in this situation before.
Right.
If anybody remembers them when they played Milwaukee and they went into Milwaukee and won a game 5. For the bettors out there, I couldn't tell you to bet against Golden State, man. Just because that place is going to be rocking and raucous, you know what I'm saying, very loud tonight. So again, unless and we know Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to put up some good numbers and lead that team in scoring. But, you know what I'm saying, what the Celtics are going to need is, can Robert Williams be a scorer? And it doesn't necessarily have to be 20. I don't know. That's necessarily in his wheelhouse to get 20, right? But can he get, you know what I'm saying, a couple dunks? You know he's defensive on the defensive end, but can he get a couple dunks? Can they get to the free throw line? Can Al Horford, who's a little bit more offensively blessed, can he get it going? Because he had a poor game 4. So those would be the key. Again, those would be key factors for Boston. But, again, I think that crowd's going to be as supportive as they can, you know what I'm saying, as all the whining that happened with folks saying, like, the Celtics fans treated the Warriors players with disrespect or whatever. So there's going to be a lot of back and forth. I mean, the Warriors fans are going to be on the Celtics' hands. You know what I mean? That's just how it is, man, you know. So, I don't think you're wrong in your assessment. So, I still think it goes 7, but I think the Warriors win tonight.
Okay. Zion Williamson, John, comes out and says that he wants to stay in NOLA. What?
Do you believe it? Do you believe it?
No.
Do you believe
I do not.
Right.
I believe that is just as much as I believe the thing I sent you earlier today, which I can't even think what the thing I sent you this morning was. What was that? Refresh my memory.
What you sent me earlier today about what Tyreek Hill said about his quarterback?
As far as accuracy-wise, I'm going with Tua all day over Patty Mahomes. Okay. What, for two yards and in?
Let's talk about – we'll get to that in a second, man, when we get to the NFL, man, but I understand what you're saying. So Zion Williamson and his representation has to say that so that he can get the max dollars coming out of 3 years of basically, you know what I'm saying, come out of his rookie year, come out of his rookie deal. You know what I'm saying? He has to say that. I want to play here because he's unfortunately been often injured. He was the number one overall draft pick. There's a label on him already that he could be the next, right? And the next guy that they got selected after him is actually, you know, living up to some of the hype. And John Morant, right? If we want to be crystal clear about it. So there is a weight issue with Zion Williamson that it fluctuates or whatever. People can question his conditioning or his wanting to be better. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think a lot of times you can just kind of tell, man, he kind of just plays with this raw, you know what I'm saying, ability. And, you know, so even the most raw, you know what I'm saying, player, you're going to have to hone your skills a little bit better, you know what I'm saying, you're not going to just overpower everybody like you did at Duke. So, but he has to come out and say these things, man, because, again, you're looking at, could they pay him a two-year deal, right? Because of the certain situations that kind of come along with Zion Williamson and him not playing or whatever, they could. But again, you know what I'm saying? Brandon, like I said, he's looking as a young man. He's probably looking at a $180 to $190 million contract to re up with. You know what I'm saying? The Pelicans. Now it's not to say that contract couldn't be moved, right? But he has to say those things in order to get max dollars, man. So. They're going to have to take a hard that particular organization, that front office, that's in New Orleans, going to have to take a hard look at what they're investing into, and then what the team looks like. You know what I'm saying, going further, like, you know, is Zion Williamson the 1A guy or 1B guy, kind of like they have in Boston, or do they need to bring in another piece? I know they have the small forward and the other kid that they got from the Lakers, but again, so they won games without him. You know what I mean? There's kind of that in mind too. So, but like, you know, you want to have Zion Williamson out there during any type of playoff run or playing game that the Pelicans were in this particular year. So, I think they pay him, but they're gonna have to take a hard look in the mirror to see if they want to play him like over the course of 6 years or if it's a 1 or 2 year deal.
Okay. John, it was announced the Big Three, the fifth season of the Big Three is coming back. They've also got an opportunity now for fans to own part of the team, part of one of the teams.
Wow.
Of course, I signed up, you know, hey, got to a little bit.
I
thought we'd go down memory lane real quick, and I was going to go through some of the rosters for the franchises for you, the 12 of them.
Okay.
To see if some of these names. So the first one we have is Three-Headed Monsters. Rashard Lewis, Jonathan Simmons, Muhammad Abdul Rahif, who's got a gray beard, Abe Nodi from Synagogue, Kevin Murphy, and then the head coach is Reggie Theus. So besides Rashard and Jonathan Simmons, those are the only ones I really recognize of that team. So there's no monster there for that three-headed monster. Three's Company. My boy, Rio, Mario Chalmers, Michael Beasley, Brandon Rush, former Pacer, Julian Wright, Alex Scales, and the head coach is Michael Cooper.
Okay.
So So I do like Three's Company a little bit. Aliens. Doucet Bulet from Serbia. This looks like a international team. Carlos Lazmus. Tomas Olisev, Deshaun Stevens, and Adam Drexler. Whoever this team is, Rick Mahorn's their coach.
We know who Deshaun Stevenson is.
It's just Deshaun Stevens. There's no son on that. It's just Deshaun Stevens.
Oh,
that's
so it ain't our guy from Dallas.
Okay. No. It ain't him.
Okay.
Next one, Ball Hogs. Leandro Barbosa, former placer. Jody Meeks scored 50 points for Kentucky in a game, single game. People forget that, except unless you're in the Bluegrass State. Will McDonald, Stacey Davis IV, Curren Iverson, not Allen Iverson. Let's get that straight. And your head coach is Rick Barry. So Barbosa, Jody Meeks, that's about all you're going to know on the Ball Hogs. Busevic? I don't know who this is. My goodness. A couple former Pacers, John, on this team. Gerald Green, Ike Diagu. There's a name throwback for you, Ike Diagu. Will Bynum, one of the shortest players. They say he's 6 foot. There ain't no way he's 6 foot. Will Bynum, I remember at Georgia Tech, he was like 5'6". Corey Brewer, Jeff Ayers, and the head coach is Gary Payton. I kind of like that squad. I just don't know how to say their name. So, but Bujovic. Next one is Enemies. Nick Young, Swaggy P is in it. Isaiah Austin, Elijah Stewart, Seek Henry, Keith Benson, and the head coach is carrying the handgun with him in the team plane, Gilbert Arenas.
Oh, man. I feel like Nick Young should still be playing in the NBA, but
he should be playing in the NBA. So he could definitely get some run with a team, Orlando, Sacramento.
Damn.
Ghost Ballers, Ricky Davis, Mike Taylor, Chris Johnson, Darnell Jackson, Jermaine Taylor, and then George Gervin's their head coach. Ghost Ballers are exactly what it is. Besides Ricky Davis, that's about it. The Killer Bees. Franklin Sessions, Deontay Green, Josh Powell, KJ McDaniels, Dominique Johnson, head coach Charles Oakley. Killer Bees.
Mm.
Four teams left. Power. Oh, my God. He's still playing? Catino Mobley.
Wow. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Catino Mobley. Nikola Schicafili. He used to play for the Nuggets.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's playing 4 years in the NBA. Royce White, Glenn Rice, not Glenn Rice Sr., Glenn Rice Jr., TJ Klein, and the head coach is Nancy Lieberman.
Interesting.
Yeah, three teams left. Tri-State, Jason Richardson, he's still playing. Justin Dentmon, Larry Sanders, DeJuan Summers, Garland Green, and the head coach is Dr. J. The next one's Trilogy.
Right.
James White, Earl Clark, Amir Johnson, Isaiah Briscoe, David Hawkins, and the head coach is Steven Jackson. So Jack ain't playing anymore. He's just going into coaching. Those knees must be done.
Okay.
And then the final team, Joe Johnson, who is like the MVP of the Big Three. Joe Johnson, Jeremy Pargo, Gennaro Pargo, Alonzo Gee, and Ryan Hollins, head coach Lisa Leslie. So that's the Big Three, John, that's coming up this year. There's
a
few names.
I thought at some point there would be a little bit more influx of talent. And maybe even from like the Olympics, from the Olympics, you know what I'm saying, rosters.
Yeah.
Just because half court basketball 3-on-3 is just a little bit different than full court basketball. You know what I mean? And I just thought, didn't Robbie Hummel won it wasn't a gold medal. But I thought guys like
medal.
That. Oh, okay. Yeah. I
in the FIBA World Championships. Yeah.
And I get that the name Robbie Hummel, unless, you know what I'm saying, you're talking about here in Indiana, you know what I'm saying, the name doesn't necessarily resonate like Gennaro Pargo, surely, and I'm being facetious there. But, you know, I don't know, Brandon, I think you'd probably get more play, like serious play, if they, like non-NBA guys. NBA guys out there just, you know, it's almost like sometimes like the Harlem Globetrotters with these guys. You know, it feels like it anyway. You know what I mean? It's like you're not taking it serious. You know what I mean? Now, Joe Johnson takes it very seriously, right? We know that for sure, right? But yeah. I don't know. I thought we would see more influx of talent, but
so the big
yet.
The big three starts this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. That's week one. Looks like they go 8 weeks, and then the tournament starts. So big three, we'll see how big it is. I mean, I'm sure it's a couple of years. We'll get Eric Gordon in there. We'll get Romeo Langford in there.
Who else?
He ain't getting any playing time in San Antonio. That's the only reason the Celtics went to the championship is because they got rid of him.
He might not get a contract from the San Antonio Spurs, but he'll get a contract somewhere. Surely.
Stop. Let's see. I mean, let's real quick. I think we got time. I mean, there ain't much going on. This year, Romeo Langford, 48 games, averaged 4.5 points, 2 rebounds. Shot 34% from the field, 54% from the free throw line. That ain't going to get you a contract, John.
Not
as a guard.
Right. Not that position.
Yeah. Romeo Langford. It wasn't really a shot at him. I mean, come on now. Let's go Indiana Pacers, John. Number 6 pick. We are getting closer to that number 6 pick and about 10 days away. Some of the possible names we're hearing now, we're honing in a little bit. Keegan Murray, A.J. Griffin, Benedict Mathurin, Shaedon Sharpe. I'm honed in on those 4 guys who the Pacers are most likely going to take at number 6. Any more thoughts from you as we keep approaching closer to the NBA draft and the Pacers at 6?
I wouldn't lose my mind. If Keegan Murray, I think Keegan Murray is going to not be available at 6, which is definitely a position of need for the Pacers. I'm apprehensive about the kid that transferred out of Kentucky. I'm apprehensive about that. Just from a culture standpoint, I'm not saying the kid doesn't have talent. I wouldn't be mad, Brandon, if the Pacers selected the kid, AJ Griffin from Duke. I get that his shot is ugly as hell, right? But it does go in. You know what I'm saying? Statistically. You know what I'm saying? He didn't necessarily light it up in his 1 year at Duke, but again, they're playing in a system where, you know what I'm saying, the ownership went to Paolo Banchero as far as like getting the most points, but like everybody else is kind of like shared the ball. So I wouldn't be mad if they drafted AJ Griffin and kind of molded him to the next, you know what I'm saying, wing. Because at least on that level, collegially, He was a defensive specialist as well as a great knockdown shooter. And that's kind of what the Pacers need, somebody that can guard on the wings and somebody that can definitely hit an open jump shot. So I wouldn't be – again, it's not the guy that is necessarily the creative guy, like, okay, put it in his hands and, he's going to go wild for you. But, you know, it might be a piece that's more complimentary to what they're doing in the Pacers locker room if they don't get the guy that they kind of – And I know they worked him out, but I don't necessarily think they want him per se, you know. So, but like I can say, you know, saying the more talent they get around here that can meld into with what they already have, you know, saying the Pacers will be, you know, saying back to their winning ways, hopefully.
Kenny Atkinson hired as head coach of the Charlotte Hornets, Golden State assistant. Any thoughts on that? MJ's hire.
Be fired in 3 years. I'm
serious. Oh, man.
You probably don't get fired in 3 years, man. I'm sorry.
Damn. Shout out Kenny Atkinson. Damn. Well,
unless they get some better players.
You will not be getting his Christmas card. I mean, hey, they got Bridges, right? I mean, he's got that plastic cup.
Michael Jordan would be a fool to give Miles Bridges $4 million. That's more, let alone 45. So we shall see what happens with Miles Bridges when come NBA free agency in July.
He's dealing with a lot of stuff, John, all right? He's dealing with a lot. What else do I got, John? Hey, let's talk golf real quick, John. The RBC Canadian Open was this past weekend. Rory McIlroy, a winner, shot 18 under. Justin Thomas finishing second. Tony Finau finishing third. I guess second, tied with him. But the PGA Tour rolls on. Good attendance, good ratings. We had Jay Monahan on there talking with Jim Nance, a nice 8-minute interview or so. It was very, very interesting. Yep. I feel like it's somebody that's kind of scared and not sure what's going to happen. Because you also have last weekend Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, Pat Perez. These three more golfers are going to the LIV. I don't know where they're going to keep getting this money from. To keep these players over there. But LIV tournament had their first one. Charles Schwartzel won. So he got $4 million. It was a 54-hole experience, ended on Saturday. So you got to see that one finish the day before. I tuned in on it. It's a different breed. I wasn't against it. I thought it was all right to watch. It was a good product to watch. More golf on TV or on Facebook or YouTube, hey, I'll watch it. PGA, I thought it was good. I was just really – Jay Monahan's response, comparing to 9/11, and it was just kind of awkward, and I think he was a little bit of a stretch there. I understood kind of where he was going once you listened to the whole interview and not just that excerpt from it. But, I thought it was good golf all around. It's going to be interesting, man. It's – like I said last week, you got Chase Koepka over there making $2-point-something million, and you got Brooks this weekend or in a week or two could be making $68,000, you know?
We'll
see. What was your kind of your thoughts, John, between the two and
this
what
kind
you
of my
saw?
Thoughts, man, the PGA is going to have to figure out a way to market their stars, the up-and-coming stars. And I know that's something that they don't necessarily do, right, until you – they might have to take an NBA blueprint and say, yeah, you know what I'm saying, start saying this guy is the next, you know what I'm saying, this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? But in order to kind of compete with the money that's being thrown at some of these other golfers, right, you're gonna have to think outside the box. Yes, the PGA still has the prestige of it. They do. And they still have all the networks that kind of pay attention to them, whether it's ESPN, CBS, so on and so forth. Not to shout out anybody at Crossroads Sports. Like I said this last week. They still have all eyes on them at some point. At some point, the newness of the LIV is probably going to, you know what I'm saying, not look so new. And unless some of those big-name golfers start winning those tournaments, like, you know what I'm saying, the investors in that particular league might think a little bit differently. I don't necessarily think it's going away or anything like that. But
right.
Again, man, what's his last name? I don't want to jack it up.
Monahan.
Monahan. I was going to say Monahue. Shame on me. Monahan, the comments just were, I mean, I don't think he thought through clearly. I really don't. I'm saying, man, Jim Nance was throwing softball questions up there, too. You should have came pre-prepared at least, man, and saying, like, yo, the PGA, like, I'm not saying you put your balls out on the table like that and say, yo, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it. And, you know what I'm saying? And there should be some cause for, you know what I'm saying, for concern. But, like, again, you still have a lot of other skins in the game. You still have contracts with this, that network. You got the networks on your side.
Right.
You got more than half the endorsers on your side still, so you just got to figure out a better way of competing, and not just saying yo 9/11 when I mean again man Saudi Arabia like dude that was like low hanging fruit man it really was so I know he came back out and provided us a little bit of clarity or whatever but you know
well I think it's interesting as well because it's a fact that. Jim Nance questioned him and goes, well, but you let these players play in the Saudi Arabian tournament back in February. So if it's really about Saudi, why did you have the PGA tourists be able to go there and play February in an event? And he's like, well, that's a private, has nothing to do with that. It's the fact that it's a competitor that's
right.
gunning for you and buying your players away from you. That's what it is.
Right. So at some point, though, there are going to be guys that want to win the U.S. Open, the FedEx, whatever. They're going to want to win. And then they might end up getting recruited by, you know what I'm saying, the LIV at some point. It's an open market, man. Take it for what it's worth. But understand that you still have, you know what I'm saying, enough of an arsenal to, like, compete with. You don't have the money to give them to give a guy $125 million to come play in some tournament. No, you don't. But you do have enough of a, hey, man, we're still going to take care of our golfers here. They're going to compete in our tournaments. You do.
Right.
Brandon,
yep.
You might turn pro. Turn pro.
Hey, if the money's right, I'd do it for
right.
game, but, you know. U.S. Open, John, the U.S. Open, something I could qualify for if I was really, really good at golf. The U.S. Open is this week over at the Country Club, TPC Brookline in Massachusetts. All the big names are going to be there, John. Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson. Mickelson had his press conference today. All the big names, even the guys that play on the LIV, they're back for the major, the U.S. Open. Looking at your odds right now, Rory McIlroy is outright favorite to win the U.S. Open, which he is playing great golf right now, so I see why the odds are there. Justin Thomas at plus is 11-1. John Rahm, your defending U.S. Open champion, 12-1. Scottie Scheffler, your Masters champ, 14-1. No Tiger Woods. He withdrew, as we talked last week. Dustin Johnson, 28-1. I know it's 28-1. I kind of like, ooh, wouldn't that be something if these golfers just come back from LIV and see DJ just sticks it to them and just puts a win on the majors just to rub it in the face a little bit? That's a good storyline to watch this weekend. Will Zalatoris, John, I talked about Will Zalatoris after the PGA Championship. The guy's been in the top five in every major for the last nine majors. He's finished in the top five. Zalatoris is 30-1. I like that. That's great value. I'd put a little bit of money on that. For him to be top five, John, it's 650 plus 650. So 6-1 for him to be in the top five. Hell, it's 3-1 for him to be in the top 10. So I like those odds there. He's played great every major. Will Zalatoris, the youngster, I like him in there as well. Looking forward to the U.S. Open this week and going to see some of the LIV guys join the main tour guys. So it'll be interesting.
I'm sure all eyes will be there, man. I know people be cheering for the guys that didn't go over.
Yeah. College football, John. I want to dive college football real quick. The deal has been set in stone. It's approved. Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF are going to join the Big 12 in 2023. So one more year. And then we'll have Cincy, Houston, and UCF all in the Big 12. The Big 12 just talked about revenue, how much they've made this past year, and how much they're expected to make in the future, obviously losing Texas and Oklahoma. They look like they're going to be okay, John, with the Big 12 getting those three teams in there as early as 2023.
Yeah, if anybody remembers me going ape apocalyptic shit, sorry. Last year, when I heard that Oklahoma and Texas were leaving to go to SEC, did ever change? It's going to be ever changing. The scope of these leagues is going to be ever changing. It just is. There's no way that even though those schools that you mentioned, I do have a lot of respect for them. There's no way they're going to be able to replace what Texas from what people watch. People love to see Texas win. People love to see Texas lose. Same thing with Oklahoma. What they're going to have to, what those two pictures of programs are going to have to do is, like, you're going to adjust what you do and understand that you're going to an even more competitive place when you go to the SEC. I never said the SEC wasn't better than everybody else's conference. I just said it was a little unfair that everybody just said, oh, okay, the top three SEC teams get to play, you know what I'm saying, for the national championship. Well, we got to see what, you know what I'm saying. I'm always that guy. Well, we got to see what these other teams are, you know what I'm saying, put together. you know what I'm saying, with other conferences, rather. You know what I'm saying? So I always believe that, you know what I'm saying, there's no way that, you know what I'm saying, there's a lot, there's too much money involved, Brandon, that, you know what I'm saying, for the Big 12 to go under. You know what I mean? You still have teams there that didn't want to join up with 12 or, you know what I'm saying, somehow get absorbed into the Big Ten for her. They see what happened to Nebraska, to that program. And I'm not necessarily calling out Scott Frost or the program in Nebraska, but like, what you left and you didn't take a partner. You know what I'm saying? Right. I've always said this. You got to take a rival with you in order to, you know, Nebraska just went back and said, oh, we tired of winning Big 12 conference titles, man. We just going to come over here and win some Big Ten titles. We just going to come over here and point our finger at Ohio State and Michigan and Michigan State, and we're going to just dominate. And that hasn't happened. They've had some good seasons, but that has not happened. The dominance has gone away from Nebraska. So at least Texas and Oklahoma were smart by going together, because again, those are natural rivals. I don't know what happens with. I'm sure there's no reason to believe that Oklahoma and Oklahoma State won't play. I'm sure that'll be one of their games once everything gets moved over. But like, nah, man, it's gonna be interesting to see. But, Brandon, I just don't trust the fact that – I just don't – again, man, like a lot of programs are built upon that area, and, like, the pride that people take in, like, driving from Lincoln over to, you know what I'm saying, where it's, like, a 50-mile radius, they'll drive over there and watch them, you know what I'm saying, well, I'm saying Lincoln, Nebraska, like when Nebraska was in the Big 12, you know, and going to go play a team, like, you know what I'm saying, this close to them. You know what I'm saying? So now Nebraska, they travel, but they don't. Nobody's gonna really realistically go travel all the way to freaking Penn State to watch them play. You know what I'm saying? So there's gonna be a little bit of it's gonna be different. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens when Texas has to play Florida. What happens when Oklahoma has to play, you know, South Carolina? Like, again, I know NIL money, you know, is the winner and all that, but again, fans still fuel all this. You know what I'm saying, to make this interesting. They do. Fans that are there. I mean, I get it. Because everything ain't TV. Everything ain't cable. The fans that they pack those 100,000, you know what I'm saying, person stadiums or whatnot for a reason, man. And so, yeah, and it's great when you have fans from the team that you're playing in the stands, right, to make it even more. So it's going to be interesting to see when you have those cross intercontinental type teams playing one another, man, because like it doesn't matter. It doesn't.
Right.
Texas, I put you like this. Texas playing Alabama is going to matter because they're going to say, well, you know what I'm saying, dude is the former, you know what I'm saying, he's been former everywhere, right? The current head coach of the Texas Longhorns, he's been everywhere, right? But his last stop is under Nick Saban as an assistant, right? Offensive coordinator, I do believe, right? So it matters to those kids that go to Texas when they play Oklahoma and they play Oklahoma State, and even to a degree when they play, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily Kansas, but Kansas State, because they either, A, they all went to school at some point together, or at some point they heard about this kid who was, you know what I'm saying, over here, who was kicking dust, and, you know what I'm saying, who made a name before him or herself and got recruited to go to Texas, but he lives in Kansas. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I'm not saying there's not, of course there's kids that went that's from Texas to go to Florida, to go to LSU and all that. But it's not the same. It's not the built up rivalry. It's not there, and that's what kind of that's my point. You know what I'm saying? College football is built on rivalries. IU, Purdue, North Carolina, Duke, Michigan, Ohio State, Texas, Oklahoma, and you know what I'm saying, the rest of the Philly, seemingly like the rest of the Big 12, because nobody's won the Big 12. Philly tried to win the Big 12 in football for the last several years, but like, nah, man. So it's going to be real interesting to see, like, how that all looks once everything kind of gets moved over.
Man, it's June 10th, June 13th, something like that, and you already going after Nebraska football? Damn.
Brandon, you know damn well they need to go back to the Big 12, them and Colorado. Colorado's out there floundering with the Pac-12.
Big 12 don't want them.
Not now. Right? Not now.
They might as well go to the MAC or the WAC. Or the Mountain West.
They won't go there.
Or the CFL. Hell, the CFL might be closer. So, we'll take our call. D-Cott, what's going on?
What's up, fellas? Y'all doing okay today?
Doing well, doing well.
Hey, I want to chime in on the college football talk. Jonathan, you made some good points, man, regarding the Nebraska's of the world, Colorado's of the world, and these rivalry games. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out over the next couple of years after it settles in. You know, it's like that honeymoon period, right? Everything's
right.
Nice and shiny at first. Then let's see what happens 3 years in. Is Texas, Alabama going to be a bigger game when Sark is no longer there? Maybe back to the NFL, right?
It only took 42 seconds for Alabama to be spoken out of his mouth, John.
Jonathan mentioned it first. He was just
he didn't
talking
mention
about
Bama.
He was. We're talking rivalry, man.
I
think it was a great example. I think it was a great example, right? So we'll see what happens there. And then you talk about the Big 12. To your point, Nebraska can't go back to the Big 12. Now they have their opportunity to stay. And they didn't. I think, to your point, Brandon, I think Mountain West may be working out for them, you know. we'll see how that goes. But what I want to talk about also, obviously, draft coming up on the 23rd, about a week and a half, a little more than a week and a half. I saw the move made earlier today. I think it was someone traded the 30th pick for a couple second rounds, the first round protected. I really think the Pacers are going to do something from a move standpoint. I don't think they're going to stand pat on pick six. I think they've got lots of options. I think they're weighing all those things, and I think everyone's on the table. I think everyone's on the table except for the Duarte, the kid that we got from Sacramento, and Buddy Hield. I think everybody else is on the table. What do you guys think about that?
I'll go first, John. I think from what I've seen / read and heard from, you know, just from reading different articles, I think we make our draft pick at six, and then we are going to end up trading the 31st pick and the 60th pick, and it's probably going to have one player involved. We won't get a superstar. They're going to bank on putting the Halliburton and the number six draft pick together and pair it with Miles and kind of see where we're going to go. I understand what we want to do, and I was on the same boat as you, D-Cott, and everything, but I think just with how much pressure is on this Pacers organization going into this next season, I just don't think that they're going to want to rock the boat and make a drastic move if they can make small moves to try to do it without collapsing the entire boat. See what I mean? Like, keep
you make a good point.
But
think about this, Brandon, and I don't want to cut you off, Jonathan, but haven't the Pacers done that for the last 12 years? They do the engine's the same. We change the transmission. We change the alternator. We change the battery. We change the tires. We put some wax on it. But it's still the same car, man.
Well, let me ask
so
you this:
the engine is driving.
Are they really interested in putting a winner out there and making it far, or are they interested in getting fans back into the arena?
I think they're interested in getting fans back in the arena.
Exactly.
You're exactly
that's
right.
That's why they're not going to do it.
But here, with that said, now from a fan perspective, right? Here's my take, an investor fan. I've given them another year. Right, and if I don't see some type of wanting to win, because I understand luxury tax, I get all that, right? Because there's only five teams that went over the luxury tax this year, and Pacers were not one of them that went over, obviously. But if I don't see a significant move from a development team buy-in standpoint, and I understand, I'm not talking about what you did for Bankers Life Stadium. I'm talking about the product that plays in that stadium. And if I don't see that, this may be my last year, man, because I don't want to continue, and I'll watch from afar, but I just don't want to continue to see the same things happening. And then you got, you know, guys like Pritchard out there shaking hands and kissing babies the last game of the season. I just don't know that that's something you want to be a part of, man. I just John, don't, you know.
John, your thoughts?
If there's a trade to be made, I look at some of the maturing talent that's in Atlanta, not named John Collins, or not named what's my little guy? What's the point guard's name? Those are two guys that are probably untradeable from Atlanta.
Trae Young, you talking about?
Yeah. But they have some other pieces that on other teams would get a lot of shots up and potentially, you know, could do work. I'm not saying franchise guy. Again, if you want to jumpstart the franchise, right now and you want your team to kind of grow, I think the Pacers won both. Okay. I know I was probably gloom and doom a couple months ago saying, I think the team won.
Yeah, you are. I remember that. Yeah, you are. Yes,
well,
you are.
Here's the thing about Las Vegas and Seattle. I think the NBA is going to put new franchises there and not let anybody move in there. The NBA is fine with Indianapolis getting what they get out of Indianapolis, what they get out of Orlando.
Absolutely.
Whoever. You know what I'm saying? But I think there's going to be a whole new franchise. And they'll just probably move, you know what I'm saying, the Memphis over to the east, the Minnesota over to the east, and that'll kind of be how, you know what I'm saying, how that's kind of taken care of. But I think the Pacers, though they get a lot of money back from the share from not going over the luxury tab or even close to it. I think they want to do both. They want to get the fans back coming downtown, and they want a winner. They don't want to be number two, but they don't want to necessarily be number nine or number 10 either. If that makes sense. So they want to be back
They want that cake and eat it too. Is that what you're saying, Jonathan?
Yeah, and if they happen to get an all-world changing guy at number six or make a deal to bring in somebody who's been putting in work around the league, but because they're probably third or fourth option on their team, you know what I'm saying? They'll make that trade. That's kind of how Victor was. Victor was the second or third option when he was in Oklahoma City Thunder. Right. You know what I'm saying? He was the first option in Orlando. Orlando didn't think he could play. And, you know what I'm saying, that was a head scratcher there. But, you know, it is.
I've been looking at the Charlotte franchise, right? They've got about four young guys, man. Four athletic. You know, they play well together. But you know and I know, right? You guys know, those type of players aren't going to stay on the same team. Because what's going to happen is going to be that Jim Jackson. that Dallas deal, right? Dallas deal.
I can see
that happening. I'm a fan. I'm looking at them. I'm looking at that Charlotte franchise to see.
The Pacers might have to take Gordon Hayward's contract back in tow. They might trade. I mean, wouldn't it just be a swap if you trade Gordon Hayward for Malcolm Brogdon? It's kind of the same thing, is it not?
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
I mean, that, now you talk about a neutral move. Now, that's a neutral move, right?
Whatever else could be put into play. So, yeah, teams like that. You know, I picked on Atlanta. You brought up another good one, Charlotte. I'm trying to think who else has got some pretty good depth at guard and at the wing position that the Pacers might want to do a deal with.
Golden State, right? We talked about Golden State earlier in the season.
That's possible. Think about this, fellas. If Jordan Poole becomes unaffordable, they got to trade him. They're already pressing the boundaries of salary cap. You know what I mean? They're already pressing the boundaries.
They're the most over right now.
So they can't just blow the bank. Like, I know, like, in the NFL, money ain't real. Right? Just ask at Los Angeles Rams. You know what I mean? And sometimes in the NBA, it seems like money ain't real. Like, dude, what is going on? This dude got 30. This dude got 40. But, like, at some point, like, you know, owners is not, you know, okay, yeah, I'm committed to winning. I'm committed to having, you know, the core here.
There's an end game. There's an end game somewhere, right?
Right.
There's an end game somewhere. Gotcha. Okay.
Right. There's the business to it. So I wouldn't be surprised. If it ain't the person, it'll be somebody else.
Yeah, why not? And here's why I would say this, right, because we have this small midtown mentality of, you know, well, that wouldn't happen for us. Why not? This is 2022. This isn't 1976. Why wouldn't the Pacers have an opportunity? They've got good talent. They've got cap
right.
flexibility, and they've got draft equity. There's no reason why the Pacers can't make a real splash this season. They tried,
right.
remember when they got, you know, Jonathan Bender, right? They tried that splash, right? But we're not talking about on an unproven commodity. We're talking about a guy who's been in the league a couple years and who's played well in high-level moments. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for just
right.
a one-year guy that, oh, well, he's got a lot of potential. I want a guy that has shown it on the court. And I'm not – maybe it won't be Poole. Chumanga, what's his name for Golden State? He hasn't played a minute in the series.
Kuminga, yeah.
I'm like, where – he was – every time I saw him play during a regular season, I was impressed. And now all of a sudden he can't get off the bench. And I understand rotation shortened and all that. I get all that.
Right.
But things
right.
like that, you know. So that's my thought right there. But I didn't want to end – I want to really start chiming in on why can't we look at the court in Banker's life and have some type of name likeness for Slick Leonard. This guy, born and raised here in Martinsville, Indiana, went to play ball at Indiana, right? Coached the Pacers, national title at IU, ABA championship for the Pacers, and most wins in the Pacers franchise. Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame broadcaster, and there's nothing, man. This man was he saved the
got a banner.
His wife happy. Man, to hell with that banner. Hell, you know what that banner up there?
Yeah,
he said we need
serious.
More.
This man is Indiana Pacer blue and gold. And for them to not have something for him, and I know he died during the pandemic, and I was told by, you know, Jeremiah that they're going to probably do something when he gets through the pandemic. Well, guess what? We're not out of the pandemic, but it's time. It's time to
right,
start
it's
beating the drum. To doing something for Slick Leonard, man. That is, if you're a Pacer fan, a legitimate Pacer fan, you know what this man meant to the franchise. They said they're a telethon, man. Telethon to save the team. So, but you
that,
can't
right.
do anything other than put a banner up? A banner?
Right.
Are you kidding me? So I'm going to start beating that drum
team.
Too, man.
Right.
These are the same guys. They're not going to put a statue up for Reggie either. So.
Well, listen. We'll get Slick up there first. He's Mr. Pacer, not Reggie. Slick is Mr.
This is
Pacer.
True.
So you do something for Slick first, and then on the cusp, then you look at Big Mac and you look at Reggie. Because Big Mac is the guy who solidified the Pacers. He and Mel Daniels and Freddie Lewis when they were winning those titles, right? So I'll get me started on my Pacer talk, man. I love talking Pacers. But you all know
what's
what I'm
Lance
saying, man.
What's Lance Stevenson going to get then?
No, we're gonna hang out. Me and Lance. Listen, I talked to Lance last week. We just gonna y'all know what I feel about my boy Lance, man. He should absolutely be brought back as a Pacer.
No, that's the plan. I do believe that's what they said. They're bringing him back.
You got to, man. You got to bring him back because you know what? You got a lot of other guys.
Why do you have to? Why do you have to?
I'm gonna tell you why. You got 11 guys who don't give their blood, sweat, and tears like he does. That's why. They're a bad team. So you're going to tell me you don't have room for Lance, who plays hard, loves the city, gives it his 100% all. You don't have time for him, right? Are you kidding me?
It's time to move on. Time to move on.
Listen, clearly the Pacers have moved on from winning because they haven't done that in a while. That's my point, right?
Well, you want them to play next year, right? You want them to win, right? You want them to be competitive.
Stop. Brandon, don't say that. Don't try to go there, Brandon, and imply that Lance is going to keep them from winning. This guy, hey, if he doesn't even play 20 minutes a game, that's fine.
For this team, I unfortunately,
absolutely.
I don't want it.
Absolutely.
I don't want it.
I understand that, but there's investment, though, right? So the Pacers got to give something back to the fans because they're sure not giving us wins. And if you don't make a splash,
you want Lance Stevenson as a – you're going to be okay with that? Come on. Come on.
Brandon, don't put my words – don't twist my words. I didn't say he's going to bring him to a title. I said –
I know. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you would rather have – well, at least give me Lance so I could watch that. I mean, come on. Come on.
Than the 12 guy on the bench? Hell yeah, I would. Because that guy is looking for another city anyway. That
Larry
guy
Bird
not
has
to
spoken.
Be
Larry Bird has spoken. Larry Stevenson will be back.
Larry Stevenson will not be back.
If he comes back and plays 3 minutes a game, I'm fine.
I have heard he is not coming back, John. That's what I've insight I've heard. He is not coming back.
I've heard he's not coming back, too. That's what I'm saying. I've heard that same thing. And it's disappointing because if we go in and lay another 30-burger next season, there's going to be a whole lot of seats in that spot for Lance to sit anywhere where he wants, right? And not just because of the Lance thing, but the Pacers have to show that they're willing and capable to do something to make a difference. They haven't done that yet, and Malcolm Brogdon peaked his rookie year. So I don't want to hear the Malcolm Brogdon rookie of the year talk. I'm so sick of that.
I've had my – listen, year. I'm not a Lance Stephenson hater, Nika. I promise you I'm not. And I just – I'm at that point where, okay, if we're really serious, all chips on to build this team into what it needs to be, then it's time for us to start getting rid of these pieces that are there to try to build a new identity around the young core. And for me, that's see a TJ, see a Malcolm at some point before the trade deadline, see a Miles.
Well,
Lance, it's been great the three stints you've been here. It's time to go. We've got to get some talent that we can bring in here to build up and to develop. I love Lance.
We agree on what he's done for us.
But it's like getting married, divorcing, remarrying the same girl again, divorcing and remarrying the same girl. Like, it's time to rip the Band-Aid off. It's time to see what else is out there and what we can develop. I understand the veteranism that you're going to get with Lance, but you can't compare a veteranism of Lance to what Udonis Haslem has done for Miami for veteran leadership. You're not going to get that type of thing. That's not what Lance
done?
Does.
What has he done? I'm sorry. Maybe I missed that article. What has Udonis Haslem done to make a difference for the Miami Heat that Lance Stephenson couldn't do for a good young core team? Udonis Haslem hasn't even thought about playing in 4 years. I'm not saying Lance put him out on the court for 20 minutes. I'm saying, have that guy as a guy said, listen, I love Indiana. You don't have a lot of guys that are going to say, I love Indiana. So I'm telling you, you got these guys exiting the door. Look what Paul George did. And you go, look what David West left money on the table to leave here. Listen, this is not homecoming for a lot of people. So we got to understand that. And if we understand the bigger picture of that, I'm not saying Lance is the difference-making guy. What I'm saying is the guy wants to be here. It ain't going to cost us much. And whoever the 12th guy, Lance is better than him anyway. Whoever that guy is. That's just my thought. I mean, I would put Lance's ability up against the 12th Pacer right now. Right, any day of the week.
Might as well sign Derek McKee as well. Put Derek McKee in. He sits courtside. Go ahead, Derek. It's a feel good story.
Hey, keep Derek McKee's name out your mouth. That's my guy, man. You know, that's my guy. Leave him alone. We're not talking about Derek. Good dude, but he's still
past
his time.
I'm sure Danny Granger's got some leg on him still. Come on, Danny. Come on back.
Listen,
it's a feel-good story.
No fan of Danny Granger. Mr. Chuck it up in the Miami Heat series. Don't start me with that either. So listen, Danny, we're going to have to agree and disagree, but maybe I'm going to have to attack you on Twitter or something, man, because you can't be disparaging my guy, Lance. Can't be doing that, man.
It's just time to move on. That's all I'm saying. It's time to move on.
Brandon, how can you say this and you say it ain't time to move off of Miles Turner? I'm just curious.
Come on, man.
Help me out.
You really want to know?
Help me out.
Yeah, we want to know.
6'11", 6'6". Also, 12.7 rebounds, 3 assists compared to 7 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists.
Look at the minutes. Don't try it. Look at the minutes. Don't try
to. And you rounded up.
Look at the rebounds, too. Look at the opportunity. Come on. Come on, Brandon. You're not talking to two novices here now. You know, if this was Randy, I can understand that. We're not novices. We got to talk minutes and opportunity. He didn't get the minutes and opportunity when he should not have, right? But what I'm saying, now we flip it then. So what you're telling me is Draymond Green's a Hall of Famer then because he's a 8'7" and 6" guy? No.
Unfortunately, he's probably going to go in as a Hall of Famer because of the titles he's won.
Stop. Okay, Chuck, well, I'll tell you what. Haley.
They were talking about it today on the Dan Patrick Show. He's going in as a Hall of Famer, if either like it or not.
Stop it. Okay, let's get back to Pacers because now you got me mad. So all of us, we just got to make sure that we hit every button in this draft. June 23rd and the summer has to be a hit. It can't be a very good. it has to be a hit. And if it's not, I'm telling you now, you think they had empty seats last season? It's going to be really ugly this season and the next coming up, because they would have proven with all that equity what you brought to the table. You got 6, 31, 60. You got an expiring contract. You got two players that are very good players still that are very movable with movable contracts. If they don't make a splash, I'm telling you, they're going to bring the tarps out. They're going to bring the tarps out, and there's going to be a level on the first and second level. They have an opportunity. This is their time. Scrap the Cleveland pick. I don't care about that because we don't have it anyway. This is their time. And if they don't make hay with it, watch what I tell you. We'll be talking, of course, all season long. But I'm telling you, I'll be there cheering. But I'm telling you, if they don't this season, it's going to be ugly. They've never been in a better situation, Brandon. You can't name another a time when they've been in a better situation to make hay.
Well, depends what I can sit there and say the going into the 2014-2015 season, we were sitting in pretty good shape.
No, we were on the cusp of going to the Eastern Conference Finals and looking at a title. I'm talking about an opportunity to take us from rags to riches. We weren't a viable team last season. This season coming up is our opportunity. This is our opportunity. I'll be sitting there watching. And I'm telling you, we've got to do something. If nothing happens, the tarp is coming. Jonathan, mark the tape.
They've already got it there for the Fever, unfortunately.
Well, they don't. Come on, you talking about women's basketball, man? This is
Kelly Birdsong. Jonathan says, can we also look at picking up Darnell Hillman? I mean,
Kelly needs to stop, right? Kelly needs to stop. That's another one of my favorites.
No, look, that's one of her favorites.
That's my guy, man. So we'll see what happens.
Sounds good, D-Cott.
We got another week, so we shall see.
All right, you guys be safe.
Take care, buddy.
All right, take care, D-Cott.
All right, D-Cott. Love it. Heated Pacers discussion. Love it. John, I just...
Brandon, great.
I like him, but it's just time to go. It's time to move on. As I heard a radio host say, it's great the times we've had him, but we've gotten rid of him in the past for a reason. And if we want to put this foot forward, put a new imprint on this team, really? Like, put him on the 12th spot? Okay. What's that going to do? You know? That's just my thing. I like Lance, what we did with him. But it's time to go. It's time to move on. It's time to move forward. We got other positions we can fill. Right now you've got, if I'm looking at the roster, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shooting guards on this roster. You're not going to have 6 shooting guards going into next season. So I'm sorry.
Premium shooting. Probably not. Hey, while we were going at it, man, there's a little rumor chatter going on right now, man, that Utah is coming to pieces.
Oh yeah,
Dwayne Wade left the meeting talks because Donovan Mitchell, again, folks, is off their rumor, has not necessarily been confirmed just yet. Donovan Mitchell wants out of Utah, the current rumor. So we can kind of speculate on it if you want.
Yeah.
I know we kind of talked about it in the past, but like we know there's going to be Quinn Snyder is already he's already kind of stepped down. There's definitely a new regime with Danny Ainge being the vice president of basketball operations. Dwayne Wade also has a stake into the team as he's a minority owner. Outside of some of those factors, like I said, Gobert and Donovan Mitchell not getting along. I think this might be the last time we kind of talk about. Well, the last season was probably like the last version of that Utah Jazz that we're going to see. There's going to be a new Utah Jazz come next season.
Yeah, the mediocre Jazz. I mean Utah Jazz of every year, where they do well in the regular season and then piss the bed for the playoffs. Yeah, Donovan Mitchell. You know, we talked about this previously with him and Gobert going at it. Yada 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 yada. Both of them are going to stay there. Looks like Gobert could possibly be traded. Talking about Donovan Mitchell, D. Wade situation.
I know it'd be a pipe dream for Donovan Mitchell to ever be an Indiana Pacer, but I think we're too dumb to go out and make the moves to get him. Even though we have the pieces, if there's any a year we have the pieces to do it, it's right now.
To move, right.
But
we
I
do.
Think,
yep.
John, call me crazy. I know we talked about, I talked about Donovan Mitchell would be great in Miami as that second player. You get Tyler Hero traded out of there, and then you've got him kind of as your wingman with Jimmy Buckets down there in Miami. I think that would help them get to that next level. But don't go away from out west still. I still think there's a way.
I still think there's a way
Donovan Mitchell could end up a Los Angeles Laker. And the reason why I say that is Russell Westbrook then gets his trade out. And John, remind me, who is LeBron James's best friend? Isn't he the owner of the Utah Jazz?
So I would send you, right, so you pull a Jerry West when he was the general manager of Memphis. Instead of sending the guy, you know, I'm going to send you to. Because basically you'd be absorbing Russell Westbrook's contract again for 1 year.
And, hey, let me help you out a little bit, Bron. I got a guy for you. It's your last hurrah. I'm just saying, John, mark the tape at 1 hour.
People will lose their mind. Brandon, don't say these things. People are going to lose their
mind. I'm telling you, if I could see it happening. And then what's that do, you don't call it tampering. Right? I mean,
no.
I know it's a whole other investigation you have, but...
It's been done. I mean...
Is it doing a favor for your guy?
Right. Kevin McHale did the same thing when he traded Garnett to Boston. Come on, man. He looked out for his franchise that he played for 100 years, man. So, I'm like, no. There's favors and whatnot that happen all the time.
Let me ask you this. Does... Utah hasn't named a head coach, have they?
Not yet. Just got rid of one. No, they haven't named nobody yet.
Do you think, because you know who else is out there is Danny Ainge. Do you think he gives a call to old Brad?
And to see if they want to take on, like, Marcus Smart. I mean, I don't know. I think they're happy with the point guard.
I was talking about bringing Brad out.
Oh, to come run? No, he's not leaving. He's not leaving Boston for Utah, surely. No, that's not going to happen. To be the coach? No, it's not going to happen.
Okay. But you do see my thing about Donovan Mitchell getting traded. D-Wade has a little play in there with LeBron.
Right, why would I send you – right. You know, right. Why would I send you over there, my old stomping grounds? Yeah, there's a possibility. I bet you everybody's on the phone right now.
Yeah. Mark the tape for that. I'm putting it on Twitter right now. Wouldn't shock me if D-Wade, my own owner of the Jazz – does his buddy.
Don't start this conspiracy, man. People are going to, boy, you're going to get a lot of flack for that one. I'm going to call you Dwayne. Well, you're going to get a lot of flack for that one, Brandon.
I'm just saying. I hope D-Wade don't come after me. John, I've got a, we're going to kind of move around different topics here. So I want to talk entertainment real quick.
Yeah.
I went and saw Jurassic World on Friday night.
Okay.
I give it a 7.8 out of 10.
Really?
Unfortunately. It just, John, they had so many weird storylines just trying to wrap it into one story. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, it was good, but it wasn't good, great, you know, and the critics gave it a bad review, and normally I'm against the critics, but I thought it was all right. It wasn't something great. And I just think, and I went to look who wrote this one, who was the writer, and it makes sense. It's the same writer, I can't think of the guy's name, but he wrote, I don't know if you've seen the movie Pacific Rim or heard of it. Which Pacific Rim was a great movie. Pacific Rim Uprising, which was the second one, was horrific. And it's the same writer who wrote Pacific Rim 2. So it makes a lot of sense there. I don't know. I like the cast in there. I did like the fact that they made homage to some old things from the original or things like that from the first one. I do like that.
aspect of it that they did. Great job. But I just feel overall, it just, there was a lot of stuff they tried to wrap into it. And I was just like, some of the storyline, I was like, okay. Some of it went a little too long in areas, but I give it a 7-8. I'll give it a 7-8. But what I will tell you, I'm ready to stay home. I don't want to go back to the movie theaters anymore. I went back for this one. I'm going to have to probably go back for Top Gun.
Okay.
But tell me when this happened. And I guess you can start calling me old man yelling at cloud, like Grandpa Simpson. Since when does a movie, if it starts at 9 o'clock, it said you get tickets for a 9 o'clock movie? Why the hell does it start at 9:35? Why don't they just put 9:35 on there instead of 9 o'clock? And I got to sit here and watch 35 minutes of previews.
Yeah, I never experienced that, but I've never experienced that.
AMC gave me 35 minutes. The movie is supposed to start at 9 o'clock, John. It didn't start until 9:35. We got there at 8:45. We got in the theater about 8:50. Got my snacks. And next thing you know, shit, drink's almost gone. Movie ain't started. Food's almost, popcorn's almost out. Movie's just now starting, 9:30.
Well, you got to go down that dollar aisle at Target and get the snacks, and then, you know, you just carry them in there.
Boy,
with you.
I might as well. I mean, I know inflation's high right now, but my God, I could imagine. There was a family of four that went in front of me at the concession line, John. They paid $135 for food and snacks. So $135 in the movie theater? Are you kidding me?
Right, the tickets weren't that much, right.
I mean, and I heard somebody say today to go over and watch a baseball tournament this past weekend in Westfield for a family of four cost them $77 for a family of four to get in to watch
four family four.
12-year-old AU baseball at Westfield, $77. John, that'll get three of you in at Great American Ballpark to watch the Cincinnati Reds. Okay? And we're talking about youth baseball. Don't get me started on gas either. I'll get going on gasoline, because that right now is a Lord have mercy.
Well, let's hope, you know what I'm saying, the powers be give us some levity around gas. You know what I'm saying? There's a gas tax, you know what I'm saying, that the states kinda have proprietary ownership of. It's on them if they want to continue with it, you know what I'm saying, or whatnot. I know this is also from the state house that, you know, from the governor of Indiana, is planning on potentially sending everybody like another, you know, little bit of the stimmy. You know what I mean? I don't know how much $200 is going to do you when it costs like $80 to fill up
your tank.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know what $80 is going to do you. You know what I'm saying? $200 is going to do you when it costs like $80 to fill up a 7-gallon tank, man. But, I mean, you know, dude, you might want to – you got Peacock, man. They got same-day movies, man, on Peacock. But I don't think Top Gun or not none of the real popular movies are on Peacock, though. So unfortunately,
I do want to get and you know, I was joking around with a lot of that. I do want to get on a serious note. This is a very trying time for this city right now. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but earlier today, MS Communications was sold off to Urban One, which is it's more tailored to
it's more tailored to music, if anything.
Yeah, music and African American culture and black culture and things like that. But they've sold the four of their radio stations, as well as 1070 The Fan, which is local here. Obviously, we have our friend of the program, JMV. We've had him on this show. Want to get him on again soon. You know, your rival, Dan Dockich, he does his show. Kevin and Query
right.
In the morning. We listen to all these shows. It's sports-driven 24, well, I'll say 24-7, but really from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., 12 hours a day almost, here in the city, all sports, right? Local sports.
Local sports topics we
love to talk about, and which is what got me interested in doing my own, starting my own podcast, to where we're at now with our own radio show here. The fact that they sold it today to this company in Maryland, who's taken a lot of this stuff and pushed it as generic, I'm really nervous that, John, we're going to lose our local markets here, our local sports talk, our JMV, our Dan Dockich, love him or hate him, Kevin and Query.
Right.
Bob Kravitz just went on Twitter and says, I rarely listen to sports talk radio these days, but it would stink to lose Indy's only all sports talk format in the city. Aside from the people losing their jobs, I hate to lose those voices. It's a very trying moment right now. We may lose this in the city, and it would be devastating.
Right. Because on the flip side of that, man, a lot of those guys, love them or hate them, Kevin Query, Dan Dockus, JMV, they'll interact with you. That's the cool part.
Yes.
And it's been like that for like the last 10 years. You know what I mean? I mean, anybody listens to Dan Dockus or JMV knows that they both talk national sports, but they also give you the deep dive on what's going on with the coach. They also give you the deep dive on what's going on at IU, Purdue, with 500 or whatever other race that they might be coming here or that's run here. You're not going to – if that does happen and you get a national market, the national market does not – ESPN, shame on them, they'll tell you who won, you know what I'm saying? But they don't – it's not – auto racing is not on their top priority of things to cover anymore. You know what I'm saying? They'll tell you who won, whatever Grand Slam that just happened last week. But did you see any – you might have saw clips of it, but you didn't see the actual match. Not on their primary ESPN 1 or 2, you didn't. You know what I mean? I guess I am picking on ESPN just a little bit, but – Like that's kind of what happens, Brandon, unfortunately, and anybody listening, like, you know what I'm saying, when they bought the market because they like the ratings that kind of come out of the market. They think they can put – they're probably thinking – I'm just assuming here. They think they can probably put their own little show and the market will listen. Some of the people will still listen. But some of the people like us, the smart – like, if you ain't talking Coats, if you can't tell me what's going on down in Bloomington – in West Lafayette, you can't tell me what's going on in Muncie, with Ball State, or so in parts in between. You can't tell me what's going on down here in Indy, at the Indy 500, or whatever, you know what I'm saying, whatever else is going on within the state of Indiana as far as sports is concerned, because this is still the land of basketball. You know what I mean? This is still the land of basketball. And like when Danny Bridges from the Indianapolis Recorder came on our show 2 weeks ago, like this is, like the Indy 500 is still the granddaddy of them all. Super Bowl of that particular race. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
So if they're not talking that, and if it's just more of what we get on ESPN, if it's just more we get on Fox Sports, then there really was no reason for them to buy that.
I'm on at length talking about how much I hate listening to and why we have a waste of time having the Dan Le Batard show on. 1070-1075 The Fan's radio station. Dan Le Batard brings nothing to the program except of a loudmouth, boastering idiot. I'm sorry, that's what it is.
Well, he's
you
gone.
Know?
Well, he's gone. He didn't make the last ESPN cut.
What's your thoughts on the Greeny show? I'm just like, that one. Why can't we have local all the way through? Why can't we?
I know somebody would take that.
That 2 hour time slot from 10 to 12?
Absolutely. I know I would. You would.
And it starts with Jonathan and Brandon.
I like Greenberg when he was with Mike Golan. And unfortunately,
yes.
their relationship eroded behind closed doors. And, you know what I'm saying, Golan still pops up from every now and then. Greenberg, you know what I'm saying, went on to pursue bigger and better things. Well, he became more part of the ESPN machine. You can't turn on ESPN without him being on there now. Right, I like Keyshawn and Jay Williams in the morning, Kellerman in the morning. They run a real good 3-man weave. I almost kind of feel cheated when I missed when the Kevin and Curry kind of come
at
on
7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock. But I like Kevin and Curry too. They bring a different type of take on it. It's like an everyday man take.
Right, everyday,
and that's what you come to appreciate with them. I'm not for a lot of. I mean, again, I like politics, Brandon. I like religion. I don't mix my sports. I try not to. It happens, but I try not to mix my sports, my politics, and religion together, because like one is a game, the other two are way too serious. You know what I mean? And the sports can get serious at sometimes if people have their own beliefs, like. About their team and whatnot, You know what I'm saying? Those, I know the San Francisco Giants fan, the Dodgers fan, still probably fighting. You know what I mean? In the stands, right?
Right?
But like I said, man, I don't, like, you know, this market doesn't, I mean, I can't necessarily speak for the market, but I know I don't want to hear more politics. You know what I'm saying? Again, it does happen at times. Again, but, like, I just hope it doesn't. I just hope that they retain some type of, you know what I'm saying, what's, you know what I mean? I hope it's not a total drastic change that we're going to foresee here. And then, again, you know what I'm saying? But, again, I don't own the fan no more. So we shall see in a couple of weeks, I guess, what happens.
Absolutely. Best of luck. I hope nothing changes with it. But, unfortunately, I tried to do as much research as I could on it today, and I was one of the first ones to see it. But we'll see. I mean, worst case, you can always hire. You can always hire your rival, right, Dan? Bring him on. Yeah. By the way, I saw you. You on the weekend. You kind of said, "Hey, we're on Monday night, 6:30 to 8. You want to chat?
Well, see, that's
if you want to call
right,
in.
Well, that's the thing, man. I ain't got no problem. Like, Dan has an Outkick show, and he also has the 1070 Fan show. And, like, again, with Seth Greenberg, Seth Greenberg comes on there, dude. I'm all in because I appreciate the insights that Seth Greenberg has as it relates to college basketball and potential guys coming from college basketball or even internationally coming to the pros. I appreciate that. I probably only really listen to hardcore Dan Dawkins, the truth be told, once, maybe twice a week, right? Because some of the other stuff that kind of comes out of his mouth, like he pulls out his ear. He doesn't know golf. He doesn't know auto racing. You know what I mean? He pulls it out of his ear, right? And he's very contradictory to, like, what he says about certain on particular days. Like 2 weeks ago, he was saying Derek Jeter was just an okay player. Now he's saying Steph Curry, who he's saying Steph Curry not only the best player, but he's the Derek Jeter of NBA. Like, what are you saying, Dan? but like, you know, he knows how to push certain political buttons, and he likes to post political crap on his Twitter. It's his right. I follow Dan. Dan don't block me. Dan's blocked a whole lot of other people. Called him damn dumbass or damn jock itch or whatever the case may be. I haven't necessarily gotten to that whole big name calling deal with Dan, but he's called me an idiot or whatever. How many times? You know what I mean? But he does go back and forth with me a lot on different political and sports related topics. Right?
Three foolish men. There I put you right in that category.
Right. So, you know, some of his followers wanted to chime in on what I had to say. I'm like, yo. So I gave him a lot of hyperbole, right, a lot of sarcasm. And they're like, dude, you can't even answer. Like, it was something about Joe Biden, right? Okay, right, that's what it is. That's why I say don't mix politics and sports together, right? And that's what happens. So, like, things get heated. So I gave him a real answer, gave him three real answers, right?
Right.
I didn't hear a peep afterwards. I didn't hear a freaking peep afterwards. I'm beginning to think, like, you just want to call a drama. Y'all happy with that? I like resolution, dude. Brandon, except for this show, this country's most divisive I've ever seen it. And I'm 48 years old, going to be 48. This country is, and it might be because of social media. You got a lot of keyboard warriors. You got a lot of things people will say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They'll say it on their phone or their iPad to you, but they never would say it to your face. And again, I made a mistake, you know what I'm saying, in years past by, you know what I'm saying, poking the bear at people. When people, you know what I'm saying, when people start, you know what I'm saying, doxing my phone and doxing my address, say, hey, man, we know where you live at. Okay, based off of a Twitter conversation, because I told you to go fly a kite, that's what you want to do? You want to come over here and upset because we got difference of a political opinion? Everybody really wants to know whether it's left or the right. All we want is a good America, a great America.
I think he got blocked. I think missed that. Well, the guy from the weekend, I think he was tired of hearing it from you. I think he blocked you.
Right. Well, he might have. But so again, as long as that's ironic, man, because
I was ready to go to war this weekend. I saw it. I thought about to rally up the troops.
But Brent, ain't that hilarious? Like, as long as I kept on going back and forth and making them laugh and making them saying stupid shit, and when I said something real, and I never called nobody out their name. I never made fun of them because they're from Logansport or wherever the frick they're from. Like, I mean, it's on your page, bro. It's on their page. You know what I mean?
Sports over by my hometown.
They're IU dude, but these dudes are IU fans, and they grew up in West
Virginia. IU homer.
Yeah. So again, they were all cool with going back and forth, but when somebody says something real, something solid, something like, oh man, he's a obviously lefty commie, some type of bullcrap that I got called. He's obviously, and I'm talking sense, not political, not saying Joe Biden, not saying, you know what I'm saying, Republican Party, Democratic Party. When I say, yo, this is what we want to get, why don't we all try to get America going back on the right shit? You telling me I got blocked? You telling me I didn't hear a freaking peep? Man, please.
Yeah, he also hasn't tweeted since then, so I think you.
Hey, Brandon, people be on their phones. People be on their phones.
They know.
So they know. But like, nah, man. So it is, Brandon. It is what it is, man. I kind of expected maybe somebody was gonna have some sack and listen and actually. I mean, we put the phone number on there. We put the links on there or whatnot. You know what I'm saying? If you wanted to come on here, this was your chance to tell me how stupid I was, or tell me how leftist I was, or whatever the hell that was said on Twitter. Again, people, Brandon, they get that thumb muscle gets a lot of strength in it. Keyboard warriors, things that you would say to a person in real life, you would never say to them. You know what I'm
right.
saying? You would never say to. So it is what it is, man. I'm not gonna go fishing for them no more. I had some more interactions today.
Hey, they know where you're at.
They know where they can find me. You can call me every day, every weekend, every week here at the Crossroads Sports Show. And then we can, you know what I'm saying, we'll talk a little sports. I'll probably ask you what you like, what you don't like about whatever team that you think you're rooting for. And then if you want to go political, you know what I'm saying, as long as it don't get disrespectful, we can touch on it. But, again, you got to make the call. I'm the one. We the one with the show.
We do have a caller, though, right now. We do have a caller.
Okay, let's take him.
What's up, Reg? What's going on?
What's cool, buddies? I hate that I'm back in Indianapolis, but oh, well, it is what it is.
I know you brought the humidity.
It is. I did what?
I said you brought the humidity.
Hey, got to bring y'all something back, you know? I got to let y'all have it a little bit, something. I'm really catching the tail end of the conversation, but I got a text message from the dummy of the show, D-Cock, and he said that he had called in, and I figured that I would call in and make the show better because I know he's not capable of doing that. So here I am. I'm calling to make the show better. I'm sure he had a lot of dumb stuff to say today, and I'm in here to make it better. That's what I'm doing, making it better.
He was pro Pacer, Reggie. So he was pro Pacer. He wants the Pacers to pick make the right selection, man. I know you pro Pacer too. So the draft is next Thursday. I'm just asking you the general question. Do you think they make a trade, or do they pick one of these kids to come out of college?
They're gonna pick one of these kids. They got to. They don't have a choice. You know, I don't like any of the trades that have been offered. The draft back. I think you got to hit a home run. You didn't do bad with your draft pick last year, so you can continue to build on that success. I really think it's going to be hard to go wrong with the first five or six picks, maybe eight picks anyway. I think, you know, you're probably going to get a pretty decent player that's almost ready to come in and play. So I think they should keep the pick, and I think they should go with one. Gerald is confused, though. Gerald thinks Larry Bird's still pulling strings. I don't even think Larry Bird's in the office. I know they
Jonathan
said that this
thinks
team
that.
Is a consultant and all that. Huh?
I said Jonathan still thinks that, too.
Larry Bird's presence is still much around this team, Reggie.
No,
there's no reason why Miles Turner is still here. That's Larry Bird's last pick, man. He wants to see that work out, dude. I'm being for real, man. How many times? I can't remember how you feel about Miles anymore. You know what I mean? I'm kind of like, dude, send him on out. If he goes out to be great somewhere else and becomes a two-time all-star.
No. You can't send Miles out right now because you don't know what you have. And right now, defensively, you don't know what you have. So
we got Isaiah Jackson. We got Isaiah Jackson. We got that.
do you really think he's right now on par defensively as Miles? I don't.
His biggest challenge.
He's not big enough. He's gonna get bodied up more than Miles gets bodied up because he's not as big as Miles.
So he's gonna get bodied up even more. You're gonna trade Miles Turner for something. Now I'm not necessarily saying you go out here and trade him for like James Wiseman, another project. But you trade him for something, man. You trade him Miles Turner for I'm not saying for whatever you can get, but you trade a Miles Turner Devin for a first rounder, if not a veteran, that can come in here and help with the culture. And I know the culture with the Pacers is like, you know, the identity is like a big non-factor right now, but
I actually think the culture has changed because of the trade they made last year, bringing in Tyler and bringing in
right. They want to play more tempo. They want to get it up and down real fast.
They cheer each other, and I never knew how I could actually make passes. Depending on where Durante is and everything. You know, I would like to keep High, but he's a good trade asset. He hits that three. And I just think you need to see this thing through. I think long as you keep Miles, if you keep Brogdon, I like what I saw with him and Halliburton and all those guys on the court. I think me and Reef agree with this. I don't like Brogdon as a point guard.
I don't like him as a point guard. I hate this term, Reggie and Brandon. You can win small. Small ball, you can win. Like the last game, the Golden State played, Wiggins was the center. And Wiggins is 6 foot ten and a half.
You don't have shooters like that. Every team doesn't have shooters like that. You gotta have the shooters to play small.
Right. You can't mimic the shooters that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are, but you can put out three guard offense, sort of like Detroit did with Joe Dumars. I know it's 100 years ago, and Vinnie Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, right? And they won. You know what I mean?
How did that work with Miami Heat against Boston this year?
It went to seven. Goodness gracious, Red. Right?
I get it, they lost,
but. Small ball, Reg, small ball ain't going away. I think it's going to even
you
be more.
You can play small ball, but you can't play small ball a whole game. You can play small ball to try to get back and get up and down the court. I agree. It's not going away. But I wouldn't want to build my whole team around small ball. I just wouldn't want to do that.
I got you.
I wouldn't want to do it. But I want to see this team, like I wanted to see them together last year, but injuries ruined that. And yes, I'm a little hesitant about Michael Brogdon getting hurt again, but I think they kept him out. I think T.J. Warren's going to be gone, and I think that they're going to keep these people together unless they can get something good for Brogdon. And I just think this is Tyler's team, and I just like how the players get along. I like the players that we develop also. I think they're going to deserve a roll off the bench. I think the shooter, the light-skinned guy, and then the other guy that was playing more minutes, you know. I think those guys, I think we have our role players figured out because they stepped up in a few games and we saw them perform. So now we need to see our starters that can maintain step up. That's what we need. We need the Miles to step up. We need the Durante to step up. We need the Hyde to step up and let the role players do the role. They don't need to play 30 minutes a game unless somebody's hurt. They need to, you know, be down in the 10 to 12 minute mark, give the starters a relief, and go. But I like Washington, too, but he proved a little injury-prone also last year.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. I don't have – next week when I call in, I'll tell you who I think we're going to draft. I'm not sure yet. I'm still a little confused. I don't know which way they're going to go.
Well, you got the next Thursday. You got the next Thursday. So,
a lot of people were mad about them drafting Durante. They talk about, who do you want an old guy for? Well, that old guy, he stepped in and he balled out. So I think he proves a point. You don't have to be 18 or 19 Like you said, look at Golden State Wiseman.
Why would you want? I don't know who told you that, Reg, but why would you want a 17-year-old kid? Like 17-year-old kids cannot be 27-year-old men. On a basketball court.
And I agree. With
unless
you,
you're LeBron James.
Unless you're LeBron James.
Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Hey. Great show, guys. Hey, that I'm just now getting to listen to her little.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Why the hell aren't you playing golf tomorrow?
Well, I've had some things going on. My auntie is I've been really sick, and I've been at the hospital with her all day. And I just don't know how things are going to turn because we just hospital. Hopefully, with God's help, that she'll either come out of it or.
Okay.
She'll rest comfortably.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't because of the you were going to be too hot in the heat. I just wanted to put that
room in the rest. If I play in the cold at 40 degrees, I'm sure I can play in 100 degrees.
And that's what I thought as well. I just heard a rumor that was probably the reason. I said, now, hold on. Hold on.
that ain't the reason. No.
All right, Reg.
All right,
it's been a pleasure.
I'll let you later.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, Reg.
All right, John. That's Reggie Sykes, the number one caller, correct?
They're like Tatum and Brown, man. It's 1A and 1B.
D calls him Reggie the Geek or the Greek. Reggie the Greek, not Reggie the Geek.
Wow.
So, what else you got, John? You got anything? I don't have anything on my list. We probably need to do a quick ad read. Let's do our ad reads real quick. Get our sponsors in there. We'll come back. We'll finish off what we got.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crust, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Crossroads Sports would also like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic and commercials, available for delivery of your packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's Wiseman Logistics. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born. Specialized in customized motorcycles, boats, slingshots, Jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. All right, John, as we approach the end of the show. Uh-oh, I hear a train.
Uh-oh.
And is that the lane train coming from down to Ole Miss? But, John, I put on Facebook the other day and on Twitter, and it got a little traction. What do we expect out of Caleb Williams, USC, and Lincoln Riley this year coming up? Are they going to be able to bring the Pac-12 prestige as well as USC back up into the top five? The over-under for wins this year for USC is 9.5.
I think if they lose a game, it'll probably be in their non-conference. It won't be in their conference. The air show's coming. The air raid is in the Pac-12. Now, I don't know why or how Lincoln Riley alienated a lot of that quarterback room, but like all those quarterbacks USC had last year, I thought were pretty good. They didn't necessarily have all the talent up front, or definitely not in the backfield like they've been accustomed to in years past. With running backs and whatnot, or even wideout talent in that place. But that's all kind of been, taken care of this year. Not only do they got a quarterback, they got another $3 million wide receiver that came from West Virginia.
Yep.
I thought he'd make more money than Ashton Doolin of the Colts. So at least this year anyway. So I can see that. I think USC does still play Notre Dame this year. And I think they also play another Big Ten team. I don't have their schedule in front of me. But as far as like run the gauntlet through the Pac-12, whether it's Arizona, UCLA, Colorado, those names, those teams on there shouldn't put Washington, maybe. Those teams shouldn't put no, shouldn't put any fear in what they're doing right now in USC.
Okay, okay. Do you got anything before we end the show? Anything extra?
Dude, I watched a little bit. What did I watch this weekend? I watched a little bit of auto racing. Newgarden, yeah, he won. He won.
Yes.
He won the race. He was about due anyway. I think he had to do. I think he ended up finishing the top five or the top ten at the Indy 500. And then last week he finished in the top three.
I just TMZ just put out your NBA forward Montrezl Harrell was arrested in Kentucky.
Yeah.
For drug trafficking.
Yeah.
3 pounds of weed in his car during a traffic stop.
3 pounds? All right, get away from that. He's gonna have to answer for it, of course.
Right.
You can say that's all personal. He goes, oh, that's personal use, but you know, it's not a good look. It's not a good look, man. He's gotta get his career back on the line. He hasn't had the success. He's playing how many teams now? He hasn't had the success since he was Sixth Man of the Year. Like 3 seasons ago, but like now, I watched a little bit of the race, man. So shout out to Joseph Newgarden, finally got one. He was, like I said, he's about due. And then I also watched a little fever, little NBA fever, man. The fever was needing to win. Yeah, man. I mean, it comes on Facebook now, man. I don't know what's going on with the licensing deal and why, like how. I used to be all type of NBA games on, WNBA games on during that season. It would come on like whatever cable network. But for whatever reason now, Facebook, since you, if you follow, you know what I'm saying, whatever, whether it be the Atlanta Dream or the Fever in this particular case, Facebook will give you a notification saying, yo, the game is playing. So, you know, I watch it. You know what I mean? Carlos Knox, is head coach now. Took over team after they started like 2-7. They're still somewhat of a bad mix of talent, man. They got a lot of young players that are learning how to play, you know what I'm saying, in the WNBA, and they still got a lot of old veterans that are still looking, you know what I'm saying, for their shot or whatnot, man. But like, no, nah, man, they finally got a win the other night. It was now brings his record after having a 5-game slide. So like, no, nah, man, it's still a lot of growth potential that's going on with the favorite, man. So like, no, nah, man, I watched that. Like I said, a little bit of IndyCar, you know. So that's pretty much all I got, though, Brandon.
Okay. Yeah, I watched a lot of Formula One. I'm getting into Formula One. I've been watching the Netflix series, and I watched that race a little bit Sunday morning, and then I finished it Sunday afternoon. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I have on the docket. Like we said, U.S. Opens this week, NBA game. 5 tonight, NBA Finals, Warriors Celtics. If you get a chance, I'm going to retweet it right now. But Jimmy Kimmel then did one of the famous NBA meme tweets. So apparently there was one with Tyrese Halliburton on there. So it'll be interesting. And okay. If you don't remember, the NBA Finals like 6 years ago, I was featured on meme tweets. And I was going, and it was the person who read it was Joey Crawford. It was a tweet about Joey Crawford doing the game. And I said, he's doing the game. We're all screwed tonight. And he read that personal tweet. So my Twitter and everything blew up that night. Crazy. But they actually put my tweet on there for that. So, but yeah, good game tonight. Looking forward to it. Should be an exciting game. Like I said, I think we both said Warriors in this one, but would not shock us if somehow the Celtic Pride came out. There's a shout out for a movie for you. Celtic Pride with Daniel Stern. Other than that, John, I'll let you wrap us, my man.
Man, we had another great show. Episode number 213 did not disappoint.
214.
Thanks, D-Cop, for calling in. 214. Shame on me. Oh, yeah, 213 was last. 214. Thanks, D-Cop, for calling in. Thanks, Reggie, for calling in. I should have asked him about his tan. You know what I'm saying? Did he bring it back? But anyway, man. Or did he bring us back any Jamaican rum? You know what I mean? But we'll catch up, Reds, about that. A little bit later, man. But thanks to all our callers for calling in. Thanks for all the folks chiming in on Facebook Live, whether it's Kelly Hill, my sister, or Justin Powell. Oh, shame on me. Kelly Hill's our former name. I'm going to get in trouble. Anyway, man, I want to say thank you to everybody who chimed in on the live as well, man. And then, again, thanks to all our sponsors. How could we do without them? And next time, we'll see you. I don't know. Brandon's probably going to put up – be checking for that. Brandon's going to probably put up a show schedule for next week. We'll be back bigger, better than ever. So
yeah,
tuned.
double show next week. We're gonna have our regular show. I still gotta see the date. It's not gonna be Wednesday, I don't believe, but I'll take a look. Show schedule, but then also we're gonna do a Facebook Live, John, for the first six picks of the draft or seven picks of the draft, while they do the Pacers stuff. So we'll do that as we did last year. I thought that had good traction. So we'll kind of do that with some instant reaction for at least the first seven picks of the draft. So that schedule, all posted on the Facebook page. It'll be out on the Twitter account. Tune in next week. Thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads.